This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Good morning. It's just a joy to be here. I'm excited about all of what the Lord is doing here at CIU. And I'm very grateful to those who have just taking me to lunch and fed me. I'm so encouraged right now and have so enjoyed going back to the villa. And it's always good when you're speaking. Mention your favorite restaurant in your first message, and folk will take you there every time. I've been there twice already and have enjoyed eating that Italian villa sub, and the same manager that was my manager when I was working there at Benedict 26 years ago is still the manager. And so what a joy it was to connect with Gerald Taylor and the same owner there, John Scarborough. It was just a great time for me. But I'm really encouraged being here at CIU and just having a great time to fellowship with so many of you all and the professors, the faculty, the staff, and your president, Dr. Bill Jones. I tell you, I just feel like our hearts are just beating in the same direction. He is just a wonderful man of God, and had a chance to enjoy him and Dr. Murray and their wives last night at dinner. And I'm just overflowing with warm fellowship and certainly warm thoughts of CIU. Today, I know I'm speaking twice, and I'm excited to be sharing this morning. The Lord has took me back to a movie that I saw actually with my first wife, and we went to see this movie. And I'm probably like some of you all, some of you brothers who go to movies perhaps on a date or with friends, and sometimes I fall asleep during movies. Anybody here like that? That just, I see a couple people. Sometimes I miss the movie. I get in the movie theater and the lights dim, and all of a sudden I get comfortable and I'm out. And you know, my first wife used to kind of nudge me, and I go right back to sleep. And but we went to see this one movie, and I never forget. It's called Walk to Remember, with Mandy Moore, and she's one of my favorite actresses, and pray for Mandy. I don't know if Mandy's saved or not, but I always get nervous when I hear about she's dating so-and-so. And I just, she's such a wonderful actress. I haven't seen her all in muddy water out there, and I just hope she lands safely secure in a godly marriage somewhere. But I follow some of her movies, and this particular movie was one of her early ones. And when I woke up at the end of the movie, my wife and her girlfriend and her girlfriend's husband, all four of us went together. They were all sitting there with tears in their eyes. And even the husband, who at the time was my youth pastor, John Bray, big former Georgia Tech football player, sitting up there with tissues, just wiping the tears from his eyes. I never forget, you know, I never got to see the movie, but I remember after my wife, you know, passed away, she had Hodgkin's disease. She fought it for 2 years. And I can remember going back to Blockbuster one night home by myself and getting that movie, because it was just bothering me. What was that movie? You know, when my wife passed, for the next 6 months, one of my friends gave me a prescription to I think it was Netflix, or they send you the movies in the mail. And I was getting them, and so I was real movie oriented. And I went back to Blockbuster to get this one movie, Walk to Remember. And I watched it, and I remember I cried all the way through the movie, because the movie was, you know, identified with my wife's struggle in that movie. And of course, when they saw the movie, that was prior to her getting the cancer. But the theme of that movie, Walk to Remember, was that this young lady, and even her boyfriend in the movie said it, that she had an unfailing faith. That kind of led me to this passage of scripture today. I want us to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You know, as Mandy in that movie was remembered for her unfailing faith, this chapter 1 in 1 Thessalonians spoke to me along the same theme as Paul remembers the walk of these believers in this city in Thessalonica. Obviously, it's during the apostolic age. It's 1st century AD. And beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope. In our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, and not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God would have spread abroad. So that we need not to speak anything, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. In verse 10, and await for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, and even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I want to share for a few moments on the thought, a walk to remember. A walk to remember. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. For Lord, truly we have learned that what David said is also true, that your word is a lamp unto our feet, and your word is a light unto our path. Lord, as we walk through this dark and dim world, we thank you for your word and how it lights up our path, literally, and show us where to take the next steps in life. Lord, I pray as David also prayed in that 19th Psalm and ask as he asked that you would let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Rock, my strength, and my redeemer. And then, Lord, I pray as I often do that your word will be a source of blessing and encouragement to my brothers and sisters and to myself. In Jesus' name, that every heart say, amen. A walk to remember. Paul is obviously writing to the church. In fact, in verse 1, he says, Paul, Silas, Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians. This letter is to believers. And the preposition seems to indicate, you know, you can be in the church and not necessarily a believer. He further narrows the audience, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to you. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. But verse 2, he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And interestingly, he opens verse 3, says, remembering. Remembering. There are some things that Paul remembered about the believers in Thessalonica that was true to their walk with God. And I believe in the next seven verses, he makes mention of these things. The first thing he mentions that he remembers is the fact that these believers had a work of faith. He remembered their work of faith. And this ought to be the mark of every believer. We ought to be known for our faith. The Bible says faith is the evidence of things unseen, the substance of things hoped for. And all too often, we're so tempted in this world to live according to our flesh and to respond to the things that we can see and to live with certainty. And to live by faith, there has to be some degree of uncertainty. There has to be some degree of risk. And I challenge you and I challenge myself today, let's respond to the opportunities God gives us to live by faith. He says, I remember your work of faith and your labor of love. You know, loving others, sometimes he uses this word for labor that is literally hard work. And if we're honest about it, there's some folk around us that are hard to love. Certainly harder than others. There's people that disagree with us. There's people who have different political bents, different theological bents, different backgrounds, different cultures. And loving people that are different is hard work. And he remembers them for their labor of love. And then thirdly, in that clause, he remembers them for their patience of hope. Known, remembered by that these were people that no matter how difficult things became in the first century, they never lost hope in Jesus Christ. They always had hope. And isn't that true that no matter how challenging things may get, whether it's a response to the mission field and you're doing deputation or raising support, or whether it's getting through Greek or Hebrew, whether it's being involved in a ministry where people are not responding, it could be a tough relationship. It's so easy to give up and throw in the towel, but because we're in Christ and he's sovereign over all, we should always have hope. And a little bit of hope, I've learned, goes a long way. Even when all else fails, if we just keep our eyes on Christ and have hope in him. And it's the hope in Christ, not only that we should be remembered for, that's a hope that we should transfer to many others who may be in despair or may be in difficult situations. No situation is doomed when we turn our hearts to Christ. You know, I worked at NIH for many years, and I'll never forget the story I heard there with scientists who had done an experiment with some mice, and they took some mice and they put them in water, and they allowed the mice to swim and float in this water until they were no longer able to stay afloat. And the interesting thing was they struggled for a long time and they stayed afloat for, you know, several hours, and they took the mice out of the water just before they died and rested them and gave them some food. And the next day, the scientists put the mice back in the same water. And unlike the first day, the second day, the mice swam for seven times longer than they did the first day. And they were puzzled But discover that unlike the first day, the second day, there was now the element of hope. And because the mice could realize that the day before they had been rescued. And just with the history of being rescued before, they now had hope that they could be rescued again and were able to muster up a whole lot of strength. And I'm here to proclaim that whatever it is, whatever curveball life may throw us, whether it's sickness in our body, whether it's financial difficulties, whether it's struggles in relationships, we can always have hope. Because as we look back down memory lane to the cross of Calvary, when man was marching down a road that had no outlet, Jesus rescued us. And because he has already rescued us from our darkest moment of despair, there's nothing that can come now that he cannot rescue us from. Because there's the element of hope that we've been rescued before, he can rescue us again. Their walk was remembered by the Apostle Paul. He thought about their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience of hope. But let me observe just a few other things that he makes mention of in this letter to these believers in Thessalonica. He goes on in verse 4 and 5 and makes mention of their election and the gospel coming to them. But notice in verse 6, he identifies a trait that he remembered in these believers. He says in verse 6, and you became followers of us. You became followers of us. He remembers that characteristic of these believers. The word for follow here is the word mimete in the Greek. In fact, we get an English word mimic from this word. It literally means to imitate. And I love the progression Paul writes with, because he doesn't identify this trait as something they had when they first met Jesus. He says, and ye became followers of us. And one of the traits that's almost evaporating in our society today is the trait of being a good follower. You know, I thank God for all the leadership gurus out there. There's so many of them. There's so many books on being a good leader and being a strong leader and what it takes to be a leader and a leader. We're preparing godly servant leaders. Somebody needs to write a book about preparing godly servant followers. Because there's so many people that struggle with this thing of submitting to the authority figures in their life. And one of the challenges for us as we who are evangelicals and gain so much access to biblical and theological knowledge, sometimes for us it's difficult to follow people who are not theologically as astute as we are. Paul remembers that these folk became followers of us. And the antecedent of us is all the leadership here. It's in verse 1, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. I don't know who all of the authority figures are in your life. Be careful that even when it's things you don't like or don't agree with, be careful about giving in to the flesh. Respond to those authority figures. Lovingly serve them and follow them as they follow Christ. And notice the usage of the conjunction here in verse 6. Paul almost equates and likens following the leadership with following the Lord. The text says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord. In other words, you can't argue that you're following the Lord And you're rebelling against leadership. And there's so much of that. It's almost become a fad in our culture. That we reward people. We endorse bad behavior. And sometimes we justify it. And rather than just calling it what it is, it's wrong when we don't follow leadership. And notice what he says, you became followers of and of the Lord. But then he remembers another trait. Not only this trait of humility and following leadership, he says in that same verse, having received the word in much affliction. These were folk who were surrendered, and they were also folk who was remembered by their willingness to suffer. And we know that this is a trait that certainly is not palatable to preach on in our culture, because we don't do a lot of suffering these days. And the text says that they received the word in much affliction. And a closer examination of this text would reveal that he was really speaking to the women who were down at the marketplace, at the agora, and they were shopping, if you will, and as Paul and the evangelistic team were leading people to Christ, a lot of the women were responding to the gospel, and they were coming back home to unsaved husbands. They were receiving the word and having to endure the affliction and ridicule and hardship of coming, trying to grow spiritually and be godly in households with unsaved husbands. And Paul remembers that about them, that you receive the word with much affliction. This theme is not surprising in Pauline literature. He mentioned it yesterday in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's that same language about enduring hardships. As we're followers of Jesus Christ, life may throw us some curveballs, but it's as we endure hardships that we have a witness for Christ. As we endure afflictions, we testify to God's ability to enable us to weather the storms in life. Doesn't mean we're exempt from pain. Doesn't mean we're exempt. But what it does mean is that we have a resilience. We have this hope. We trust God during the good times as well as during the bad times. I'm reminded of the young fellow that took his little duck down to the lake. And while at the lake, he put his little duck on the water, and the duck kind of got away from him and he couldn't reach it. And he called his dad, whose arm length was certainly longer than his, but it was beyond the reach of his dad. His dad couldn't reach it, but his dad reasoned if he threw some rocks in the water, perhaps the wave from the rocks would push the duck back closer to the shore. And he threw a rock, and the wave pushed it, and he threw another rock and another wave and another rock until the duck was within the father's grasp. And I'm convinced that sometimes in our particularly American culture, we get so comfortable. And this is not an issue of relationship, but fellowship sometimes is compromised. And God allows some affliction to come. He allows some heart, just for the purpose that the waves from those afflictions will push us back closer within fellowship with the Father. Paul remembers their work of faith. He remembers their labor of love. He remembers their patience of hope. He remembers that they were followers to the leadership. He remembers that they were willing to suffer affliction. But two other things, and I'll pray. He remembers that these believers had a heart for evangelism. This is a walk to remember. These are traits of New Testament saints in the first century. Look what he says. He said at the end of verse 6, you know, you receive the word of much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. But in verse 7, notice the purpose clause. So that you went through this affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost for the purpose so that you are examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. People are watching us when we endure hardships. And the implication in verse 8 is that the way they endured those hardships set the stage for them to proclaim the gospel. Look at verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. And he makes mention of the two cities he just mentioned, Macedonia and Achaia. He says, but look, also in every place your faith to God would have spread abroad. And the last clause in verse 8 implies that their evangelistic efforts were so profound that when Paul, Silas, and Timothy returned to Thessalonica, look at the last clause, so that we need not to speak anything. Everybody had heard the gospel and were open to the gospel because of the testimony that they had from enduring the afflictions. The word for sounded out in verse 8 is the word ex eketai. I'm so excited about that word. It's a word we get the English word echo from. If I said Columbia, it would say Columbia, Columbia, Columbia. It's this word that simply means as we learn the gospel, as we learn the word of God, we don't have to add to it. We don't have to sugarcoat it. But we can simply echo what God's word says to a culture that sometimes, believe it or not, I have to convince myself that are anxious and willing and excited to hear about. Particularly after they've seen us endure afflictions. And then notice, he remembers not only that they suffered affliction, he remembers not only that they proclaim the word of God all throughout Macedonia and Achaia. But notice verse 9. And I believe this last trait that he remembers provided a lot of motivation for fleshing out all of the things previously mentioned. He mentions in verse 9 a little bit about their testimony, the before Christ days. But notice verse 10, he says, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Because not only were these folks surrendered, not only were these folks soul winners, these were people who were second coming Christians. They were living every day. And Paul remembers this about them. Every step they took, every beat of their heart, they were looking for the imminent return of Jesus Christ. They were second coming Christians. And nothing should motivate us more to have a work of faith, to demonstrate a labor of love, to have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, to submit and be followers, to be willing to suffer, to engage in soul winning, than the knowledge that one day Jesus is going to crack that sky and that trump's going to sound, and to wait for his son from heaven. It may be hard now. It may be uncomfortable now taking the gospel to others, but Jesus is on the way back. And Paul remembers the walk, the traits of these believers and how they left their imprint on that generation in Thessalonica. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Father, I Thank you, God, for your word. And Lord, I thank you for the incredible testimony of these first century saints. Lord, I pray for anyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, that they will be remembered, that I will be remembered. Lord, from our work of faith. Lord, we don't have all of our ducks counted. Sometimes we can't see our way clear. But thank you, God, that we can trust in you. Lord, may we be remembered for our labor of love. And Lord, we know you'll send people across our path who may even be unlovable at times. Holy Spirit, give us the grace to love even our enemies. And thank you, Jesus, that all of these traits that are remembered, we see so clearly in you. May we be remembered for our patience of hope. Father, help us not give up on any situation or any person. Let us always have hope. And Father, I pray for us, Lord, that we may be known, Lord, even when we disagree. And thank you, Lord. I know that this is probably less of a struggle on this campus than others, but Lord, there may be some here today that struggle with authority. And Father, I pray that we can be known, whether it's me as a president with my board, whether it's a faculty member with a dean, whether it's a student with a prof, whether it's siblings with parents, Lord, whatever the context may be, let us, and some of us, become followers of the authority figures in our life. Lord, when life throws us curveballs, and Lord, we know we're not blind. We see in your word that it will, whether it's an illness. And God, I thank you for just the history I have of watching my wife suffer and seeing the joy of the Holy Ghost even in her life. Lord, help us endure the hardships in our life. And Lord, I realize there's a variety of afflictions or hardship or things that the believers here in this chapel may have to endure. For some, it'll be broken relationships. Lord, I don't know. For some, it'll be being single for more years than most of their friends. For some, it may be people who are older and they're still single. Father, that could be a hardship to some people, where our society makes marriage almost the end of life, as if you don't start living until you're married. Thank you, Lord, that we are created for a greater purpose than marriage, your glory, that can be accomplished even as a single person. Father, thank you, Lord, for the example of these believers performing evangelism, just sounding out, echoing the word of God all over Macedonia, everywhere their faith was spread. Lord, give us the passion, the skill, Lord, to redirect conversations at the mall, the hospital, the basketball games, the soccer games. Lord, when we run in contact with the world, help us, Lord, be able to turn those conversations tactfully and gracefully yet boldly towards spiritual things, that we might share our faith, do the work of an evangelist, sound out the word of God. And Lord, even not only in the evangelistic context, but when issues arise, people come across our path who may be pro-abortion, who may be in support of homosexuality. Father, help us to just sound out what the word says, knowing that your word convicts. And Father, I pray, Lord, that no matter all of the information that comes into our hearts and our minds, that we never for one moment forget that we're waiting. We're waiting for you, Jesus, to return. Thank you for that promise that he who has ascended shall return in like manner. Lord, we wait with great anticipation. Lord, may that waiting motivate us to live a life where we too, as these Thessalonians were, be remembered by things that matter most. Lord, we realize that we'll never be on the cover of Christianity Today or some magazine for exercising these traits in our lives. But thank you, Lord, that what we can look forward to one day is standing before you and hearing you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Been faithful over a few things. Come on up, I'll make you rule over many." Lord, give us, through the power of your Holy Spirit, a walk to remember. In Jesus' name, let every heart say, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.